Evolve 360, a holistic approach to life, is an exploration of learning through experience to transform individually and culturally as a whole by taking a 360-degree look at the quality of our life, including the limiting beliefs, worn-out paradigms, and destructive habits that have led us to where we are today, and to instead create or revolutionize a new life vision that brings greater peace, appreciation, fulfillment, clarity, happiness, and joy as we ultimately evolve. In our last episode, Shelley and I discussed the process of transforming our chaos, envisioning an enhanced quality of life by setting a new life vision. If you haven't listened or watched the past episodes, go back and do so. They are filled with everything leading up until now. Because this episode, which is our last of season one, we are setting the stage for the creation of that new life vision by addressing and learning how to navigate our four core archetypes, using them to power up so we are not leaking our energy away in power plays. And then by taking a 360-degree view of how to set up the ideal expression of our desired life vision in all 12 categories of our life so that you lead a life and business with soul. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Evolve 360 Shelley Shell Show with host
Shelley Grace
and Shelley Divine. Hey, soul sister.
Oh my gosh. How are you?
Great. Did you have a fun birthday party for your grandchild, your grandson?
Baby. Yes, I did. And he's not a baby anymore. He gets insulted. He just turned four. So we are just having so much fun with him. And time goes by so fast. I mean, he's four. Our show is season one ending. I just can't believe how time flies.
It's amazing.
You blink and all this time goes by.
It's amazing, right? Oh my gosh.
Oh, goodness. You know,
he must be so cute, like 4 years old. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's adorable and he started pre-K today, so he's so excited.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
he's so smart too. So yeah, smart, right? Like that age. I remember when my daughter was she must have been about the same age, and I was visiting my grandmother who was probably in her 80s at the time, all right? Uh-huh. And I can remember this little argument, you know, just a four-year-old child had with my 80-year-old grandmother. Oh, and yeah. We always called her Gram. And so my daughter at the time said, "No, Mamie." And my Gram said, "No, Gram." And my daughter said, "No, Mamie." And she's like, you know, standing her ground. This went back and forth for like a good 5 minutes. They were arguing, right? And I'm looking at my grandmother cracking up because I'm like, where did she get Mamie from? And lo and behold, like this power play going back and forth between the two. But it started with a little child, 4 years old. They know their mind. But what was really crazy about it is my grandmother had an aunt, Mamie. Oh. And so my dad even, it was her, you know, his aunt, it was a great aunt, Mamie. And so somehow we were like, wow, I said, did she ever hear that? I said, I've never said it. I'm like, I've never heard it on TV or on a show or anything. I don't know where she got it, but something from her little soul came through and said, "No, Mamie. I'm calling you Mamie."
So
and
Graham turned into Mamie.
Yeah, it stuck. It totally stuck. And she called, and now we all, you know, since she died or whatever, you know, we called her Mamie for years. Isn't that funny?
Wow. That's an interesting story. Right. Well, mine is very smart. And sometimes when you have smart children, they are, I don't want to say a challenge, but they question a lot.
Yeah.
They question a lot. And you're right. They do have little power plays at that age. So they're asserting their independence. Yeah. And what's fun is now I'm a grandma, so it's so much fun to sit back on the sidelines and watch. I have three grandchildren and watch my two kids be the parent. And then I chuckle and I'm like, Welcome to parenting.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Welcome to parenting, guys. So much fun. You know, my son yesterday, he's funny. He's doing a lot. He's got two little ones and he does a lot. So, wow. You know, it's fun. I'm like, I'm always telling them, welcome to parenting. But yes, the power plays start when they're tiny, teeny tiny.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny. And it's such a shame being the educator that I am that we don't teach what we're going to be teaching the world in school. Mm. In school, there's so many things that are, I would consider non-negotiables to teach in school at the age of four.
Mm-hmm.
Like my little one starting pre-K today.
Wow.
And besides what we're going to be teaching and sharing as we move on to our next season and our platform, but more so, you know, which is we're incorporating money into it because money also should be taught in school. Nobody knows fiscal responsibility. It just, you know, critical thinking, all these wonderful things. It just,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just has to be told. But geez, Shell, I can't believe that this has been a labor of love and it's gone by so fast and we're having so much fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're having so much fun. You know, I just can't believe how fast the time has gone from that first phone call that we did, that we set the intention, we planted the seed in the spring. And, you know, that's what I want to tell people because sometimes you want to get to that next level, but you've got to plant your seeds. You have to do the harvest. Mm-hmm. And now we're going into the fall season and Shelly and I planted those seeds way back in April. Mm-hmm. In the spring, we planted the seed of not only our show, but we've set the intention for a wonderful platform of different programs that we have scheduled. And we're going to be sharing some of those today, you know, as we close off our season one. And we wanted to help you, you know, we've worked with Carolyn Meese for a very, very long time. And throughout the whole journey of our work with her, which has been almost 20 years, we've decided that we wanted to focus on four core archetypes, which are the ones that, like Shell was saying, with her little girl when she was four, it's the power players. You know, I call them the power players because it's interesting how just one little, a look, a comment, a word can suck us into that web. And we're going to talk more about that. And it's so easy to just get sucked in, especially when somebody knows how to push those buttons.
Like a four-year-old.
Exactly. And, you know, we do turn into that four-year-old. It depends what we're talking about. And all of a sudden, the word or a look. And it sucks you in and it takes you back to that time that you were four and your mother was scolding you. Or your dad was giving you that look. You know, I don't know about you, but my parents, you know, my mother was a disciplinarian, but all my dad had to do was give me that look. You know,
that
look of, I dare you.
You're like, oh no, you're terrorized.
Yeah. So, you know, that look. Yeah. And I received a crack on the butt a couple of times because trust me, I was
precocious.
I was good, but I always pushed my limits. I pushed my limits and I, the power plays.
Yeah.
But as we start coming into the show, we wanted to share with all of you guys a couple of things. And I wanted to set the intention for our show because all of us have the ability to really, really, you know, decide in which direction we want to go with our lives. Do you want to be an observer? Do you want to sit back and watch the movie of your life play? Do you want to be jumped in and be involved in the web like we talked about? Or do you want to be strategic and be able to discern and be able to see when those power plays are coming your way? Mm-hmm. So you don't get sucked in like we were talking about, because when that happens, you lose your energy, you give up your power. And you know, there's so many things that happen. We've been talking about this all season long. And if you haven't listened to some of our shows, we highly encourage you to go back, you know, and catch up because we've really done a lot. One of the things that I do want to share with you is, you know, Shelly's mentioned it, I've mentioned it. It's all about tuning into your frequency. And we're going to talk more about vibration. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It's like tuning into the radio station that you really want to hear because the music is really what you love. But for some reason, you can't find it. You know, sometimes when you're in that middle of that station or you're traveling, you just can't, you can't really zone in and you can't really get into that vibration. The same happens to us because everything is energy. So if you're looking for that nice smooth jazz or that rock and roll or, you know, the electronic funk, but you're diving into classical. So, you know, it's like, okay, so what's wrong? There's a disconnect. Yeah. And we'll be sharing with you what you can do about that disconnect and about, you know, becoming congruent in all areas of your life. So I want to start the show with a quote. And we talk a lot about Carolyn Meese, but Shelley and I have also worked with other wonderful teachers. And the teacher that I want to bring in today is Abraham Hicks. And I really like their work. Esther and Jerry Hicks have done a lot. Mm-hmm. And they talk about vibration in depth. And I want to use a couple of the quotes that I've put together that they have said. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's from Abraham. And I want to start with you listening and thinking about what I'm going to say. You have the ability to direct your own thoughts and have the option of observing things as they are or imagining them as you want them to be. Whichever option you choose, whether observing or imagining, is equally powerful. When you find yourself engulfed in a circumstance that offers a vibration that is far from that of bliss, then instantly reaching bliss is an impossibility. For the law of attraction does not allow you to make that vibrational jump any more than you can have tuned in to that radio station like 101.5 and heard a song that was being played on 6:30 a.m. There is no value in using happy sounding words if you don't feel happy. Yeah. If there is something about your life that you wish to improve, perhaps something missing that you would like to include, or something unwanted that you would like to release, we hope this show and the material that we have prepared to follow will help you. So with that, I say, my friends, I want to thank you for being with us for these 21 episodes. Stay tuned for all the things that we have to share with you. And I want to jump into the show because Shelley and I have planned a lot about what I just told you about, which is that vibrational frequency and that vibration and of being in bliss all the time. Mm. And so many of our friends, our neighbors, the world is in fear, scarcity, just you're afraid. Mm-hmm. And you're in that kind of a situation where you're not feeling bliss.
Yeah.
And
discontent, maybe discontent with how things are externally, maybe with not being able to, you know, travel the way they might have liked to during the summer months,
right,
or because of the pandemic, not thrilled about the choices for, you know, the government sort of things that are going to be coming up with the election and everything, and those kind of changes, and they're not happy with those choices. And then in fear of how it might play out economically as we move forward, you know, country and globally, you know, in whatever we do in work and life, you know, to support or sustain our lives that we currently have. There's a tremendous amount of uncertainty out there. And I think people are doing the best that they can.
Right. But remember what we had said before.
Yeah.
You are in control.
Yes.
Because one thing I've learned being in Miami, when hurricanes come, and I've gone through some category 4 hurricanes, and we just went through a horrible one in Louisiana. And my heart and my prayers are with everybody there, because I was there in 1994. Mm-hmm. Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida, mm-hmm, and it was total devastation. But one thing that I remember when I was going through that eye of the storm is that the eye is calm. Mm-hmm. So I want to share that with our viewers, because as you're going through all this crazy chaos transformation in our world, you yourself have total control of your life. You can be calm, mm-hmm, and you can set the stage for being in gratitude, mm-hmm, you know, being thankful for everything. And you don't have to get sucked into the web of what's out there. I'm not getting sucked into that web, mm-hmm, because it's really crazy and chaotic. Mm-hmm. And I just do not, I'd rather just hunker down and stay in my zone. If you hear me.
Yeah, I just like to add a little caveat to what Shelley just said. It when you're
in control of something. It's being in control of how you respond.
Right. Your emotions.
Or relate your emotions. Right. And that's where you have a tremendous amount of control. And when you are in control of your emotions and you dive into your life with some emotional intelligence, meaning right. understanding the emotional scale and either retracting or relating or reacting or responding to a situation, there's a different quality of vibration, like that radio frequency that Shelley was right. describing. And you can choose that. And not go off on a dramatic tangent or, oh no, I'm going to die. The hurricane's coming or be at peace. I'm like, I'm okay. I'm okay if I die.
I got my water. I got my generator. I'll be cool. Yeah.
I'll bunker down and I'll be cool or whatever.
Hunker down. That's the word I've got. Hunker down and just stay in your zone and don't get sucked into all the drama that's out there in the world because it's so easy to get sucked in.
Yeah.
And we get attached. We get attached to that drama play. And it's just not.
And that's part of even being like kind of feeling victimized. You have to create boundaries, right, Shel?
Right.
I mean, one of the big things that Shelley and I are going to be bringing forward a little bit more so, we have a course coming up that's going to be involving these four core archetypal patterns. And the reason for that is because we deal with them when you're four, like we said at the beginning of the show, like it shows up, the power plays, and it's like, it's everywhere. It's in your household. It's out in work. It's out, you know, like everywhere. You got to always deal
with
it.
It's part of your life. Totally part of your life.
Can't get away from it. So we're going to be, you know, dealing with those. And I mean, even when you're dealing with a storm, you know?
Right. And what I want to share with everybody is we have the tools and the tips to give you. There's still going to be, you know, the storm's still going to come. Yeah. The power plays are still going to happen. You're going to notice that you're trying to get, somebody's trying to suck you into that weeb or somebody's trying to put a, you know, cast a spell. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. But it's like Carolyn used to say, it's like being prepared for the weather. You listen to the weather report and you say, maybe I'm going to take my umbrella out with me today so that if it does rain, I don't get soaked. So these are the tools and the techniques that we want to share with you because yes, you're going to still be living in the world. And sometimes the world is mucky and it's not perfect. And it's just a lot of things happen and it's part of life. It's part of living. You're not going to avoid them. But the way that you emotionally handle it and the way that you get sucked into those, the drama, the low vibrational frequencies is going to make a total difference in your life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things are dire and they happen, but if you just take a moment and just check in with yourself, and that's what we're talking about. Yeah. It's not about running away and living in a cave like Howard Hughes. Absolutely not.
No.
You've got to live. Shel, remember when we used to go to our retreats with Carolyn and we used to feel so delicious. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then we'd leave there and we'd be at the airport and we'd be like, oh my gosh, it was chaos. Imagine an airport back almost 20 years ago. Everybody flying, the hustle and bustle. And it was jarring at times because we were just in such a peaceful place.
Yeah.
But we can't live like that. You have to live in the world and you have to be of the world.
Absolutely.
But how can you energetically protect yourself so that you don't get sucked in from these power plays?
Yeah.
Or if you've had these power plays all your life, like from your mother-in-law or your kids or your boss or your sister or your brother, whoever, then we're going to teach you how to disconnect from it. Like, you know, unbind those shackles that you know, have sucked you into that weave, that web.
Well, it's understanding, like there's a certain level of, you know, with family, there's an umbrella. You are born into that umbrella of protection of your parents. And you can decide as you age and go through, like, you know, as you grow, is that the umbrella you want to be under, or do you start to notice, is it a web that's all entangling?
Right.
You know? And sometimes we discover as we get, you know, older that some of the beliefs that our folks might have had no longer nurture us or support the lifestyle that we would like, that we desire, or that we came in as these little energetic balls of energy. And what we're here to do, what our contracts are, what are our life purposes as we move forward in our life. So, I mean, these webs that we're part of from our family.
And it brings so much stress.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I'm guilty. I know that because my parents used to have these traditions, right? But it was a different time. It was a different world where like Sunday dinners, and now all of a sudden, I know that I had to break that cycle with my own children because it's just, first of all, they don't even live in the same, my daughter does, but my son doesn't live in the same state I do. Mm. And then, you know, how can you figure that out? And it's just like, just your cultures and the world is different. So, you know, you feel so guilty because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not following that tradition, but like, hold up, take a step back. I mean, is it really that important? Right. You know, just, it's not. It's really not. And we create all this drama in ourselves and all this that is like, you just have to just chill. It's okay if you don't have Sunday dinners with your family. You know, if you do, that's great. But if it isn't possible because of whatever situation is going on, then don't feel guilty that you're not continuing that tradition.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things that, that families will do to one another. There's always these passive aggressive power plays. That, you know, your mom might be saying something like, oh, you don't come and visit me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you haven't called me.
Or when you was haven't the last called time you called me, boo hoo, or whatever. Or they might, and these like little things that Shell and I are talking about are so insidious. It's like you're caught in a web and you're like, help me. You don't even know, actually, you're unconscious about it. Oh, help me. But like, I mean, they could say something like, they could be like, you know, are you sure you're going to be able to, you know, make enough money to do that? Like, you know, to purchase whatever, a new car or whatever, right. when you're first like out of the house, you know, out of college or whatever, you got your job and it's like, oh, why don't you come up? And this is kind of like how my family worked a little bit. It was like, why don't you come up and visit or whatever, and I'll write you a check. So you're going, you're like, you're a little, you know, you're kind of going for the check. I mean, you really want to see the grandmother, but there is this little weird kind of power play, and the dynamic of it is you kind of rely on it. It becomes habitual.
Right.
And then you think, well, there's the money train. I don't need to make money on my own. You're not thinking this, but it's like,
it's a little drop of water on the stone, or
it's so unconscious. And then later on, when you're out there and you're struggling, you're like, why can't I make any money? It's because of those little nitpicky passive aggressive things that family members say,
or you need to get a real job.
They don't think that they're meaning anything by it. It's just because they want your attention. And they want you to, because they're lonely or whatever, and they have their own agenda and they want you to come and visit. And this is their way to dangle the carrot like they used to do when you were a kid. Oh, if you I'll give you a little piece. I'll give you an ice cream if you come with me to do this.
That is a power play.
You know,
that is more a power play because of safety. Maybe your parents want you to have that paycheck and be safe. And all of a sudden you're an entrepreneur and they're like, well, when are you going to get a real job? And here you are making a lot of money, but you know, in their eyes, you don't have a real job because you don't work for a corporation. You know, that all that paradigm has totally shifted and changed, and even now more so.
Yeah.
And if you have, I don't think this generation is as like our grandparents were, or you know, with a safety thing. And I know my parents were a little older when they had me.
They went through the depression too.
Yes, they did.
So they had a different mindset about
totally
it, for sure.
But it kind of seeps into your subconscious, and then it
absolutely,
you know, when you have those struggles, because everybody has struggles in their career and their if you have your own company, and all of a sudden it pops in and you're like, geez, maybe mom was right. Maybe I have to get a real job. And here you are, a top CEO of this kick-ass company, and you're having doubts, right?
Yeah, and they stem from sometimes those mini little teeny weeny power plays that, you know, that whole mustard seed that we talked about. You don't realize how that is sabotaging your entire life because you didn't figure out how to, you know, you're being manipulated.
How to untangle from it.
And right. you haven't figured out that you're being manipulated because you trust that person because they raised you or whatever.
And they love you. And they love you
and they care about you, but they're manipulating because they do have their own agenda. And we do it to others too. We don't even realize sometimes when we're doing it, you know, maybe to our children or to our spouses or to our friends.
Right.
Things. We do it too, but we learn it when we're little. And we learn how to navigate through our life, and we have to become more aware as we get mm-hmm. older, when we start to have power plays in the business world, in our career, in our relationships. And we have to identify in ourselves, where are we having these emotional power plays? Because it's all about our emotions and how we feel.
Right.
Any given moment. And then, you know, back to what Shelley was describing from Abraham Hicks is like, if your emotions are out of alignment or they're not on that higher frequency side, which is usually typically love or above, and that right. means appreciation, joy, knowledge, learning or whatever. And there's a few others. I don't have them off the top of my head, but if you're not on that and you're on the lower spectrum, what are you creating in your life? You become incongruent and you start to attract what it is you create in your life, like what your emotions are. That's your fuel. So emotional intelligence is super important.
Yes.
To create the world and life you want. Appreciation will, you know, if you're showing appreciation consistently mm-hmm. about what you're receiving, you'll get more of that.
You will. You know, like more. And even it doesn't matter if it's you found a penny on the floor.
Yeah.
Be grateful. It's not $100. It's a penny.
Yeah.
Because everything that's in your life, you should be grateful for.
Absolutely. It adds to the vibration of what you, the feelings that you would love.
Exactly.
Like to have more regularly. Say if, right. you know, there's, I do believe that a lot of people are struggling with anger and which is, I think, a catalyst to action, but when you're in those modes of anger and you don't know how to navigate that, you can go really fast down the scale mm-hmm. of emotions and get into the lower vibrations of guilt, jealousy, depression, grief, loss, all that sort of stuff, which I think like at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, like when people weren't meeting outdoors or being able to go to the gym, a lot of people were dealing with some depression and some grief because they felt like they were losing a part of their life that they yes. enjoyed. And they're like, how do I, you know, shift and change and feel okay about it? But then now, like for instance, some of my boot campers, they're able to work from home. So they have gone out of the city and they're staying with family members and said instead that they couldn't have spent time with.
Right.
And then they'll, you know, they'll show up on Zoom and they'll do a workout or whatever that way, but they're getting the best of even more, you know, more other than meeting, you know.
So kind of reflect on yeah. what this has done, because I know it's changed everybody's life. I know it changed mine. And at the beginning, it was difficult, like Shell's saying, because, you know, we were used to a routine and a normalcy of life that was totally, like, it was like playing freeze tag when you were a kid, and yet it was frozen. It was frozen for like close to 3 months, and we just didn't know. And that first month was horrible because you just didn't know the uncertainty of it. And with that, you just need to have trust and faith. And we've talked about this in the show. And now you need to bring in hope and gratitude yeah. because it's just, there's a lot of things that we have no control over. We don't have control over like hurricanes or, you know, all these things that are happening with our world. So you just have to take a moment and check in with yourself and decide, do I want to be in fear or do I want to be in peace? And being in peace is so much better than being in fear.
Yeah. And try to identify what spell are you under that is causing fear in your life.
And maybe you feel that, I know a lot of people, their jobs have been transitioned. Some have gotten laid off. So maybe you're feeling that if you don't have that job, it's going to, you know, but you need to breathe and see, okay, what other options do I have? I have a friend of mine that got laid off. Mm-hmm. She was very worried and was able to get a, she got a job with the census now because the census is temporary work. Yeah. But it's given her the, you know, a little income coming in, but at the same time, she's launched her online store. Nice. And she's doing well. I mean, what she's selling is nice. Mm-hmm. And it's afforded her that option of being able to have a little safety net and being able to launch what she's wanted, where if she would have still been with her corporate job, she couldn't have had that opportunity. So we have to put on new glasses to look at life in a different way. And that's what Shelley and I are trying to say. You have to break your paradigm. You have to break your beliefs. We're going into a new way of life and a new way of doing things. And it starts with you. Mm-hmm. Because the way that you feel emotionally is going to have a big outcome on the way that your world is going to manifest. And that's really, really important.
Yeah. And well, should we go into like this life vision thing?
Yes.
And how there's, I mean, we were talking at the very beginning, we mentioned like the web or an umbrella, but a web is entangling, you know, like it, and then there's a spider, you know, like
right. After you. Spider's so the power player.
It's a power player. Yeah. And we want to kind of move beyond that. We want to treat it more like a game or like a puzzle. Right. And our lives, sometimes we don't know, okay, you know, what am I here for? What am I doing? And what is, what's really meaningful for me? And how do I want to move forward? Especially like in the beginning, you get out of college or something, but then, and then you kind of have an idea, I'm going to get a job in the place that I studied, you know, like something in that. Or, but when you've gone through that and then you're a little older, you maybe you've gotten married, you have some kids and you've gone down the road, maybe you're, you know, in the middle of a divorce or a separation or some sort of life crisis. And then you're having a crisis. It's like, okay, now what do I want to do? Do I want to go back and, you know, reassess my life? Where have I gone? Are there things that I didn't do that I want to do? Well, how does one go about that? And through like our years of training, you know, when we were with Carolyn, we saw like the, you know, we saw the zodiac sign being used, the 12 houses and everything. So there are kind of like 12 major categories of life. And so we're breaking it down into 12 categories. And I'm just going to list them off real quick. There's your health and fitness, your intellectual life, your, you know, what you put into your mind, your emotional life, which we discussed a little bit earlier, character, your own character, what are your values? Then there's your spiritual life. What do you want to connect to? What creates awe in your life? And then love relationships. If you're a parent or if you're taking care of parenting, you know, your parents as they get older, it's some sort of responsibility to someone else that could kind of fall under that. Then your social life, what do you like to do socially? You know, your hobbies, that sort of thing. Your financial and career, those are huge that often go neglected. Most people don't know what to do with their career or their finances unless they might have gone to school, but then they decide that wasn't really what I wanted to do. I don't know. But how do you figure this all out? And then it's your quality of life. How do you see your life going? And how many of you out there have like are doing what you dreamed of way back then, you know, like say, you know, if you, you know, if you're just starting out and you're like, okay, I have maybe 10 years behind me and I'm like, I'm not anywhere close to what I was doing. Well, how do you get there? How do you do that? And you have to go inside to see what your life vision is going to be. Right. And part of some of these courses that Shelley and I are going to be putting together for you all is you have to deal with these four survival. Everybody does. It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you really, you know, like, I mean, if I knew this when I was in my 20s or younger, I would have been like, whoa, on top of it. I just didn't know.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I mean, and if you start to dive into all these quality, categories of your life, what you do is you discover what your preferences are.
And then you can really say, this is really important to me. So you get that contrast that Abraham Hicks talks about, is contrast is really important. You figure out what you like, what you don't like. Some of us come in, I'm always amazed, these kids that come in and they know exactly what they want to do. Right. And then you see, and it just fits them so perfectly. And they're so focused. They get stuff done. They're happy, you know, but it's rare to see a kid like that. You know, don't you think so? Do you think it's kind
I think it depends a lot on their environment, on their parents, on their parenting, on their opportunities. But then again, you know, I've seen kids from all spectrums of life, and, you know, sometimes things click and sometimes don't. Or sometimes, like you said, it clicks and then maybe 10, 15 years down the road, they're not fulfilled in what they decided to do.
Yeah.
So you have to take, you know, a shift. You have to shift, you have to strategize. And, you know, it just depends. It's right now, the world is full of opportunities. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it is.
And
for sure.
No one should ever feel that they are done, that they are too old. To me, age is an attitude and it's just a number. It doesn't mean, I know people that have gone to school and graduated with a diploma at the age of 80.
Awesome, right? Wow.
Super awesome.
It's never too late to.
It's never too late to learn.
Yourself.
It's never. Yeah. And you know, we're living in a world today that the opportunities are endless, because you could throw up, like I think I said it in another show. Let's say you're really good at growing orchids, and all of a sudden you put together like a course and a website, and boom, you're making more money than you did as a professional in the job that you were doing. Yeah. But it takes faith. It takes taking a risk. It takes, you know, all different kinds of things, where that's what we want to teach you guys, to go inside of yourself, because a lot of times we don't take that next step because we're scared.
Well, I think it's even beyond that. Sometimes we don't know what the next step is. And sometimes we're just churning our wheels. Like we think that we're getting into a position, but we're not ready to rock our boat, so to speak. Like we're not ready to make a significant amount of a shift to get the change into the desired direction that we want to go in, because it might disrupt our entire world, our entire personal, physical world. And that can be really scary. So it's like, how do you do that? And how do you dismantle long-term habitual habits?
You start small.
Well, you start, yeah, you do.
Start small and you start with yourself, because you can never change anything but yourself.
That's true.
So you start small and you start with yourself, because I know I've gone through this churning myself. And, you know, I want to tell people out there that even within your life, there's a life within your life, and you always have control over it. You know, are you angry? Are you going to be screaming at everybody in your house? Or are you going to maybe take a moment and realize where that anger is coming from? And then start using words of kindness towards people that you love. So these are things that are very subtle, but they're very powerful and profound.
Yeah, but I think sometimes people don't know why they react or they respond in certain ways. You know, like it's so easy to say, this is the stuff you need to do. But sometimes those things happen and you're like, shit, did I just behave like that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? And it comes from, like when we were, you know, younger, and maybe something happened, and we have a belief system that's so ingrained in us that needs to be unraveled, and the web needs to be dismantled.
And that's part of what we're doing with React.
Yeah.
Instead of reflecting, you react. You have a knee-jerk reaction. You're like, rawr.
Yeah.
No, you can't have a second piece of chicken. It's for me.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I want my stuff, man.
I want my stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is dismantling the beliefs, but then it's like, okay, you know, if you want to set up a vision for your life, which we talk a lot about, it's like seeing clearly. I mean, if you've listened to any of these podcasts, I mean, we went into some deep talks on, you know, dealing with deception and lies, and the lies that we tell ourselves, as well as the, you know, how to discern what's truth and what's, you know, whatever. So how do you create a vision for your own life? And it's about, you know, how you feel. It's like, what makes you feel really, really good? What makes you, and it should feel like really easy and natural to you. you know, and that way your authentic self can shine through too. If you're feeling right. really good about something and you're not trying to, you know, hide away and cover yourself or put on a smile when you're deep down, you're feeling like, shit, I feel like crap, you know, like.
Or you're covering a lot, because I know I've been there.
Yeah,
you have a smile plastered on your face, but inside your internal world is topsy-turvy. And it's, you know, we have to do that, especially you have to go out there and face the public. You have to do that. But it doesn't mean that you can start working on your inner life and you start thinking about what small change you can make. And it doesn't have to rock your world. You know, it's things happen as fast or as slow as you want them to happen.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that you know that. I mean, it's just, again, how you want to feel, how you want to be, and how you want to own your own life.
Yeah. And it does take, like, you know, that shift inside.
Right.
And then opportunities will come. And when those opportunities come, you know, you're like, you got to welcome it. And sometimes we're not, I know for me, there's been times where I haven't been ready to welcome an opportunity, because I was like, I didn't have the confidence yet. Like, you know, or the self-esteem development to allow that to manifest and come in.
Right.
You know, and it does take time. You know, your container for money, like you have to develop your own inner container for how much you're going to allow to come in.
Right.
You know, and you got to do that first before even doing like the physical going out and working, because you can be on that treadmill of working and working and working and never getting that raise, or working and never moving to the next promotional level, working. You're like, why am I not making it?
And we're going to share with you guys why.
Yeah.
In our programs, because we can flip that switch and you can shift that belief.
Yeah.
It's really important. And I know in my case, things that had ended a long time ago, I just didn't want to give up. You know, you keep on hanging on and you just trod. And what happens is, it's like a house whose foundation, you know, we live in Florida and there's sinkholes. So there's homes that have been on land and all of a sudden there's a hole. So your life, you just feel that you've been sinking into it. And I've had that feeling where you're like in this deep, dark black hole and you have to crawl out of it. And you're just thinking, geez, should I, could I, how?
Yeah.
And you know, it just, again, it's all about how you want to be and how you want to feel.
Yeah.
We're just giving you the roadmap.
Yeah. I can remember one time, well, this was back before I got divorced and stuff. And it was like my marriage was a little rocky and I think I might've been separated, and I can remember arguing like with the universe, I'm not leaving this place, you know, like doing one of those, dug in my heels. I'm like, and then, you know, a tidal wave, like an energy tidal wave.
Exactly.
You know, and it was like, boot, you're out, you know, like you're out of this relationship, you know, like on.
That happens. Things, you know, the rug gets pulled up from under you.
Does it. And you're like, I didn't see that coming.
It's time for you to move on. And that happened to me too. It was like a 2x4 between my eyes, even though I knew things were over and I just didn't want to move on. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, there it is. And it's like, it's done.
And I think people generally do this is once something like that happens, they start like focusing in on it. I was like, how did that happen? What did I do? Like, and did you find like ways of thoughts that you might've had
previous
to that? And then you're like, oh my word, I just manifested that. Right?
Yes.
Totally. And
but because your relationship was over and you had to move on.
Well, yeah, but how did I manifest that? And I'm like, what were my thoughts and when I've gone back, I'm like, geez, this is amazing. I actually manifested this.
Yes, you did.
And
I know I did
too. It was so unconscious though, you know, like it was so unconscious. Right. And don't you guys wanna
do it consciously, so right. it's better. And the whole thing about that is your vibration. Like when you're sitting there complaining about somebody, what do you think is going to happen? Right? Like if you're like I can remember being, oh, I can't believe they did this. Oh my God. And then the daggers, I'd be blaming them. I'm like and I'm like, what the hell? And I mean, what did I expect was going to happen? Do you think that person didn't feel that vibration coming at them?
Our words are so powerful, and people don't realize how powerful our words are.
Yeah.
And say things enough and they happen.
Yes. And eventually it's like, you know, I mean, I think what is divorce rate now? It's like 50% of all marriages end in divorce. I was like, for you people that are married and you want to turn your situation around, change your energetic vibration and the way you put your energy out.
Well, I don't plug into that, because that's the other thing. If you plug into a belief, that belief then becomes part of your truth.
Yes.
So you can't plug into beliefs that you don't want to be part of your truth. So I don't plug into that belief. You know, I feel that you have to work at things that you really value.
Oh yeah. And that's the other side of it.
Right.
That's the other side of it. When I'm saying that was something that was, and I see it all the time, and people are wondering why they're struggling in their marriage. And I'm like, you need to change yourself.
Right.
Not the other person.
You can't change nobody but yourself.
You can't change anybody. And if they're offending you, you got to ask yourself, why are they offending you?
Why are you allowing
them? Letting them disrupt your vibration. Right. And
let me tell you, relationships are hard work. Even friendships, all relationships, marriages, friendships, family relationships, relationship with your kids. It's all work. It's all ebb and flow, power plays, you know, but it doesn't have to be so difficult at times.
Yeah.
And now I want to tell the readers, the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And those are the times that sometimes are difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Are difficult with all the power plays. Who's going to have Thanksgiving at their house? I remember a friend of mine used to fight over that with her sister. And it was horrible. It's like, share one year, whatever. I mean, just, I'd be like, honey, you do it. I don't want to have to clean up.
Yeah, right? Oh, no, I know. Well, I feel bad for people that don't have families to go to too. Like there's that side of it, and they're lonely, and hopefully people who are having, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, or whatever the holiday is for you.
Right.
I
did last year. We invited a friend background. That I had that didn't have any family.
If you know somebody's you know, doesn't have somebody.
It's important to reach out and open your home to people that you know, and might be alone, because that's a difficult time too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's important to know, like what we were saying too, your beliefs are really important, and you shape your own beliefs. You shape your own beliefs. It doesn't mean societal is the same. You shape your own beliefs. And then from there you create your vision, like how, you know, how do you want to feel? And then why do you want to feel that way? That's a good question too. It's like, you got to ask yourself, why do I want to feel this way? Where am I going to take this? And then beyond that, it's like, then you got to have a strategy to get there. How am I going to get there? And that's where the 12 categories of your life and identifying what you want to do, like say career-wise, you know, how many people work in a career that they're like, they might dislike very much. And they're like, how did I get here? Why am I still doing
this? Or you might be super happy, and all of a sudden somebody comes into the organization that starts disrupting your life.
Yes.
Within. Because maybe you threaten them, because I've seen that a lot. Maybe all of a sudden they know that you're smarter than they are and they are your boss. So they are going to get rid of you. So how can you navigate those waters? And I've been there. So be very strategic.
Oh, definitely.
Getting back to the beliefs, because I look at the beliefs as being like a big giant grid, and you plug in like a electric board, you're plugging in. So what are your beliefs that you're plugging into, and what beliefs no longer serve you that you can disconnect from? And I think that's something that people have to think of, because I've had to disconnect from some beliefs that my family, my tribe
have
it down for me. My beautiful, that I adore, Cuban parents that are no longer here on this earth plane. That, you know, they just, it was like, wow, black and white, you know, it's like, you've got to do this at all costs. And it's like, but why? It doesn't longer serve who I am and my lifestyle with my children. So I disconnect.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that guilt just went out the door. It was a relief. I think I lost 20 pounds of guilt right there.
Yeah. I mean, like, we change our shoes, but do we change our beliefs as we get older? We need to do that.
you need to reassess and maybe, maybe look at what no longer serves you, that you're hanging on like the tsunami, and you're like that little person, you know, hanging on to that pole, and it's 300 mile an hour winds. And like you said, you're hanging on. And
I know a guy who could do that. He could hang on a pole and his legs would go straight out. He could
that's
do
cool.
that. It is really cool, right? It is.
Wow.
Really cool. Like, all these guys that do like push-ups and pull-ups and stuff. I was like,
that is
damn.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin to imagine. I mean, I've been in 165 mile an hour winds in my own home, and it's scary. It's like a freight train going right.
Yeah, it's loud, right? It's really loud.
Yeah. And the my windows of my house concave. They it was crazy. Uh-huh. I've never. Yeah. Yes. That's scary. So I could just imagine.
Wow.
But life can getting back to what we were talking about,
yeah.
Just what are your beliefs that no longer serve you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you have to do something about all those things to mm-hmm. create the quality of life that you want. And your emotions play a huge, 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 huge part of it. If you're not familiar with the emotional scale, you want to be in contentment.
Yeah.
And above. I'm just looking at it now. Anything below that, boredom, pessimism, frustration, irritation, impatience. Do you want to be there? Hell no. You want to be hopefulness, optimism, positive expectation, belief. You know, your beliefs are in there. So you have to have like really good positive beliefs, enthusiasm, right. eagerness, and you know, like passion about something in your life. And then the real high vibration ones. Appreciation, love, freedom. Freedom
is so important.
Freedom is all about what this country's about. Hello.
Well, I think of you because you live in that state. Live free or die.
Yeah. Yeah. Empowerment, knowledge, and joy. And then you get into bliss. That's a whole other, you know.
But I do want to go back to freedom for a minute, because we imprison our own minds.
Yes.
The things that we can't do, or the beliefs that we are still holding on to that don't allow us our own freedom. And that's, we're the ones, we have total control of ourselves.
Yeah, some of the other things that the emotions that mm-hmm. will keep us enslaved are like overwhelming. Can you imagine, like, if people saw my war room right now, my desk, they would be overwhelmed because it's such a mess.
But there's a method to your madness.
But there's a method to my madness. I'm working. But to some people, like, this overwhelming, it's like, what do I tackle next? What do I do next? I mean, prior to doing this show, like, that's how I was. And then we started this show and I was like, damn, I'm way more focused and I can, and I can be in my mess, but I'm not overwhelmed anymore.
Right.
Which and is kind of interesting because I had like a subtle, this is this subtlety of the shift that you need to make in your life. Is just that. Before, not too long ago, prior to COVID, what am I doing with my life? I mean, I love teaching my boot camp, but I feel like I needed something more. I needed to add on to my life. I needed something that was challenging me, but fulfilling. And I wanted a business part. Like all these things that I wanted. And here I am. I'm not feeling overwhelmed by those worries. And feeling discouraged because I felt like I'm doing the same thing over. I'm not getting anywhere. And then all of a sudden, boom, COVID hit. And I'm like, wow, here we are finishing our 21st podcast. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And we have total control. And it's interesting that you mentioned the overwhelm, because I want to give a shout out to all the fabulous teachers out there in this universe that are doing everything within their power to make school work for our children. Yeah. My daughter's a teacher, and I know today's her first day.
Wow.
They are also overwhelmed because so many things, but.
They have more responsibility now, having those kids in the classroom. They
Zoom.
Have to.
Well, they're on Zoom.
Oh, Zoom, okay. Some places
chaotic.
Here are holding classes.
No, Miami-Dade's on Zoom, but it's very chaotic because it's chaotic. It's opening. And what Shelley just said is so important. So to all those teachers out there that feel that you guys aren't doing enough, that you're overwhelmed, that you're working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, because I know you are.
Yeah.
To breathe and know that you are doing the best that you can do under these circumstances. Because sometimes my daughter mentions something to me and I'm like, girl, I know. I worked in that district for 35 years. So It's a great school district. But a lot of times we do a lot for our children and teachers aren't appreciated. So yeah. I want to say I appreciate you guys and don't be overwhelmed. You guys are awesome. You got this. I just had to do that little shout out to all the teachers.
Yeah, because overwhelming is huge. And I think
it is.
I mean, for moms out there and dads, you know, that are...
And even moms and dads that have the kids that are being homeschooled and they're...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. These are the times that we're dealing with. And, you know, I've been calling, like I'll call my insurance company and I hear
they don't
in the background, you know, and I'm like,
they're unable to actually get the extra help now that they might've typically had during the school year. Like, you know, so that they can get to their jobs and, you know, do their work.
Parents are very overwhelmed because they have their kids at home.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard if you're trying to work and you have a 4-year-old wanting to play with you.
And you're on the phone and you're like talking to a client. Oh my God.
Exactly.
And you're like, you're trying to be professional and you got the kid like, daddy.
We want to give a shout out to those mom and dads that are making it work with your kids at home. We honor and value you. So again, just take a breath and know that you're doing the best that you can do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's got to be. All right. I'm so glad I'm beyond that. I'm glad I'm not living in COVID, raising my two chicklets. Although I would stay at home. If I had to work and do what I see some of my clients do, I'm like, oh my word.
No, I was that juggle struggle mom.
I would probably have
like
my poor husband at the time would have been, she's losing her shit again.
I was very regimented. You have to be a general. I was a general.
Yeah,
regimented. Totally. I lived by my schedule and everybody and you know. So I get it because you just have to be in that, you have to be super organized in that mode. And
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm glad I'm not there anymore because, you know, that chapter passed.
Yeah. You know? Now you're grandma time.
Now my grandma. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's actually a great place to be. I'll look forward to those years.
Yeah.
My kids ever decide to have, they're still, you know.
It's fun. It's a different place because I'm still very active. I still juggle and struggle, but not at the level that I used to do. Mm. I shouldn't say struggle. I have a lot of projects going on.
Yeah.
But I'm there if my daughter needs me. Absolutely. Because I know how hard it is.
No, your time and energy is so important. Like, it's like, you know, what are you trading, you know, your time for? And I think time nowadays is a commodity that people value highly. And I think they may want to, you know, work less and spend more time with their kids, which I think, you know, our folks' generation, I mean, my folks, I think they had, like, my mom may be different than my dad. My dad was an only child, so he was able, his folks were there, except his dad was away at war for a period of time. But when he was there, he was very involved, where sometimes during that generation, men were typically not as involved with the upbringing of the kids because they were off working. And nowadays, you know, we see parents, it's, you know, dual parenting and then dual income households.
Right.
And, you know, parents are like, I would think are like, oh, wow. You know, like we're at home and do we have to homeschool? Do we have to take care of, you know, there's too many there seems like there's so many variables.
I don't think it's working less. Because everybody that I speak to is working a lot more than they've
ever worked. That's what I think. And I think they would rather not because it's just so overwhelming.
I think it's different. Yeah, but you got to make money.
Yeah.
You got to make money and it's about working different. I know I'm working 7 days a week. I've never worked 7 days a week before. I work 7 days a week and it's my choice, but I work different. I work I have more flex time. And I think that's what people are trying to look at now, where you might not work your 5 days, 9 to 5, maybe you'll work 7, but you'll have more flex time. So maybe you can kind of bridge that time with your kids. You know, there's a lot of different ways to see how you can structure this depending on where you're working and what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I know that you just have to keep an open mind.
Yeah. Well, it's really important too, to have a career that you really love.
And that is true.
And that will sustain
and bring
financially
you satisfaction. Right.
Yeah. And sustain you financially. So you do have that quality of life to have the satisfaction and have the contentment that you would like in your life. And that's what we hope to help people do.
Yes.
And help them identify that. So if you are discontent, it's like, oh, this, if I go through this and look at each category of my life.
Right.
And then two, dismantle or actually know how the four core archetypes are influencing you. If you become very aware of that, then if there are any power plays in your life, you will definitely know how to navigate them, because you'll see those power players coming at you. You will see them like that. It's so funny.
Yes, you will.
And I had a recent thing just last night where I'm having window replacement done and I have to sign a contract for my condo association. And when I was looking at the contract, I was like, well, wait a minute, it says this is their responsibility. So why are they shifting it all onto me just because I'm having the windows done when my, it was like a, you know, there was weird language in it. So I sent them an email and I did consult a friend of mine who's a lawyer. And he was like, yeah, you should totally contact them. And these are the things that you want to, you know, bullet point. And so because I said in the email that I contacted my lawyer, they're all in an uproar. And I'm like, I just wanted a win-win, you know, like I just want to make sure they're covered and I'm covered. I don't want like some contractor falling on, you know, common area ground, breaking a leg, and then I got to pay for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And be covered under the insurance policy. But I didn't know how this all works. So I'm just asking questions, but I created a power play.
Oh, girl.
They're all kind of like, oh no, now we have to have her lawyer. And I'm like, my lawyer did not send them anything. I just said, I consulted my lawyer, you know, just, and it made like this big wave. And I was like, shoot.
Maybe you shouldn't have used that, right? Yeah.
Well, I wanted them to act because in the past, last year I had a tree taken down.
I remember you chopped it.
They still have not fixed the fence.
Wow.
I did mention that in the email too. But like they, and I was like, I thought that somebody was going to clean up the area. It still hasn't been cleaned up.
This happened. You need to run for the board now.
Hell no. Do I want to do it in that way? Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
I went to one board meeting. I was like,
back to what we were talking about the careers, even because I had a fabulous career. I loved my job every day. I worked very hard, but I loved it. I was very fulfilled. However, there are moments in time where situations happen where you're thinking, ooh, maybe it's time to go, or how am I going to get through this? So I want to share that with you, the listeners out there, because you might be in a career that you absolutely love, but something happens. You got a boss that's demanding, or, you know, in my situation, I sometimes had very demanding parents that would totally, you know, turn things upside down for us where I was at, and we'd have to navigate those waters. But again, if you don't get sucked into the whole power play, it's easier to navigate. And I tell you, after I went to study with Carolyn, my whole shift changed as to the way that I was handling situations. I wouldn't get sucked into them as much. And I would see clearer, because this is about being able to see clearly to what's coming, like Shell was saying, and strategize and navigate the situation so that you don't get sucked in and plastered into that web. Yeah. That now you're kind of in a little web there, girl.
Oh, I know. And I was like, okay, I was like, okay, how am I gonna like deal
with plaster, this now? Right?
now am I going to deal with this now? And so I just energetically, this is how I handled it. Energetically, I could see the two people that probably read the email that I sent, and then they did respond. And it was an appropriate response. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I got the response I needed to move forward right. with my windows.
Good.
And then the backyard, they had said it'll be done. They're scheduling out sometime within the next 2 months. So I got my answer. And I'm like, and I'm fine with that. But I had heard, you know, through the grapevine that they were all in an uproar. And I'm like, what the hell, man? You know, like, chill.
They need to take our course.
But the other side of it was, is they haven't done anything back there. They haven't gotten back to me. They haven't, like, with emails that were sent. And I'm like wondering, I'm like, geez, this is like, you know, how long does it take? And I know the COVID thing has been an issue, maybe to get lumber for a fence, but hello. I'm like, they collected insurance. They collected. Meanwhile, I'm paying my whatever to keep the condo, you know, the exterior going. And I'm like, I'm looking out at this mess back there all summer long. And I'm like, this ain't fair. I'm like, I know, I'm whining a little bit, but I'm like, you know, it's all good. And I'm like, I'm fine with it. But I just put them on call a little bit. I had to say something. I had to say something, you know.
That's your warrior coming out.
But it was, there was definitely this, I could see like this could really escalate and get really ugly. And I'm like, I'm not, I won't.
You don't want to go there.
No, not at all. I'll smooth it out, yeah. You know. Like,
and I think a lot of times it's sometimes, that's why sometimes you have to put things in writing, but emails are so one-dimensional that sometimes the way things come across, it's not exactly what you intended it to be.
Yeah, exactly. So. And well, the other side of it is they're approaching it from a fear-based whatever, just because I did mention lawyer, but I was asking about the contract. I said, this doesn't make sense to me. What do you know? Like, and I'm like, I have to protect myself. I'm like, you know.
So you're getting your windows.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been creating a new, like I've been envisioning my future, and part of it is doing this work with you, Shelley. And part of it is as we move forward in, you know, this is our last episode for season one, but it's like, where are we going next? So Shelley and I have been, you know, planning and plotting and you know, putting together some amazing stuff. For you listeners, or you know, anybody that might need some help in a certain area of their life, but you have to go about envisioning what your quality of life, what quality, like going into 2021. I mean, right. We kind of see, you know, we're kind of closing the gap. We're entering the fall. The summer's kind of like, you know, I'm like so sad.
We planted the seeds. Now the harvest is going to come.
Yes, the harvest is
going to come. I want everybody to think that. What are you going to plan for 2021?
Yeah. And you have to kind of assess all these categories of your life.
Right.
And just making a difference in one area is going to affect all the categories.
Yes, it does.
It affects all the categories, but you want to make sure that your emotions are in alignment. If you're feeling worried, like, you know, just, I guess one thing I noticed, I didn't realize I was worrying about some stuff. I think I mentioned this on another podcast where I was worrying about like, oh, what class am I going to teach? And I woke up with that vibration. I was like, what is this vibration? What is this frequency? And it was totally worry. And I was like, oh, I got to shift that. I can't be waking up like that. I was like, how did that happen?
You don't sleep well at night too.
Yeah. I mean, I think I slept okay, but I was like, what? I was like, I was actually shocked by it. It was very subconscious, but I woke up like with an urgent kind of feeling. So I must've went to sleep, you know, and I'm like, okay, somehow I'm manifesting this fear, and I trailed the worry where it came from, and I had to change the vibration, and it had to do a little bit with money, and I had to change my container, what I will allow in. And now my frequency, I've moved up that emotional scale, and my frequency feels better. And we go through this all the time.
All the time.
It's like, you know, every all the time in our life, if we want to
bring something new into our life. We have to prepare energetically for it, which we, you know, we're talking about through this whole season of the Evolve 360 show. But it's like you have to start asking yourself these really important questions. Is what I'm doing now supporting where I want to be or where I would like to be and where I want to see myself? So if I were like, and we are doing this actively.
Oh, yes,
but,
we are.
But if I didn't know how to do this and I wanted a different outcome for 2021,
right,
I would be doing what's in coming with us, like,
right.
And starting as soon as I could, like, to prepare for what it is coming into the next.
And you always prepare. Now is the time to start planning for 2021. I've totally changed my whole life.
Yeah.
And I've never been happier or freer.
Yeah.
Because when you have a lot of stuff that you're still hanging on to or trying to do, it's just, it's draining. And it's not freeing.
And honestly, people, it's like, we only have a limited time on this planet.
Exactly.
We don't know when our day is up. There's a finite, that's part of our fate. We don't know when that is coming.
Exactly.
So you got to create your destiny, you know, like.
How do you want to live your life? How do you want to live your life?
Yeah.
Do you want to live it in quiet desperation or do you want to own it?
Yeah.
And live your best life yet.
Own it.
Own it. Okay. I'm owning it.
Yeah.
I'm living my best life.
Skills that you need to, you know, to get to where you want to go, you got to get out there and make it happen, you know, but you can do it somehow. Like you can do some of it energetically. So it's easy. You have to think about it, feel where you want to be. That's all, you know, Abraham Hicks talks a lot about that, but to actually really get there, there is deep work that you do have to kind of do if you're stuck. If you're stuck in a, you know, in a situation that.
And you have to do the work.
It's like, yes. Let me share that too. You have to do a lot of money
in the past, you know, working with people and, you know, people are great and books are great, but if you don't do the work. When I started doing the work, when Carolyn, you know, sat us all down and she was
Do you remember, like, sit on the edge of your seat when we would do a meditation? Okay, like you go to a yoga class. Okay, we'll do a little meditation.
Exactly.
Lie on your back and like you'll go into Shavasana.
Love and light.
They'll take you, like, you know, and you feel relaxed. Not with Carolyn. It's like on the edge of your seat. The room is cold. You know,
and you did the work. Like, that's what I mean. You did the work. You were accountable.
Yeah.
And Chanel and I are going to make sure that everybody that works with us is going to be accountable. If not, we love you guys, but you're not working with us.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to take your money. You know, we really want to help people and we want to change, you know, help you change your life if that's what you choose.
Yeah.
You know, to have a better, peaceful, joyful life. And it's not about that. It's about giving value to you.
Yeah, there's a little quote here. The secret of life is that it ends.
Yeah, that's Kafka. Yeah,
I know. What did you tell me about him the other day? You told me something about
him. Yeah, he was a short story novelist, writer in 1915, and he wrote a lot of little books. They're classics today, but he was very. I would say somber is the word that comes to mind, but he talked a lot. He was very deep about life.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has another quote that's really great. And it's like, you know, what are you doing? Are you going to live you have to live in joy to feed your soul joy. You have to, you know, that's not his quote, but that's basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
That we have to be in alignment with what we want, like live passionately for those desires that we have. You know, the career that you want, the life that you want, the friends, you know, your significant other that you want, whatever it is that you want, but you have to live passionately, you know, like your home state is like live free or die. So, you know, it's like, don't mess around, guys. This is your life.
Yeah.
Look at it and say, what tune-ups do I need to make in it so that I can feel better in it every day?
Mm. Yeah. That's totally it. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. Thanks, Shel.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to add to our, you know,
oh my gosh.
Our divine grace,
Life and Business with Soul show.
It's been a wonderful season finale. It's been amazing. Shell and I, as we put together the show, we've taken our lives to the next level too, because the more we help you with this work, the more we do the work is continuously done. So I feel like if I've been in a spa day for like four weeks because of just everything that we've done. And I'm so grateful to you. I'm grateful to God, to the universe for putting us together again.
Yeah.
And for birthing this beautiful show.
Yeah.
That has,
well, hopefully it'll help people, you know, if you go back and listen and you have a challenge. And then of course, if you have any questions, we're on Facebook, you know, like you can find us there.
Yes. And we are having that challenge, and it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have like a 5-day challenge that, we'll be offering to help people deal with these four core archetypal patterns that play in our households, that play in our workspace, that play in our social life, that play, you know, just about everywhere. And we're going to be telling it through a story, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And we want to take you from survival mode, surviving, to thriving in your life, to take you to that next level in your life.
So the next time that you're with your family, friends, or work colleagues, you know what to do so you don't get sucked into the episode. But we've decided to, all of our teachings are going to be through stories, are going to be practical, they're going to be real life situations that not only we've experienced, but that, you know, we are plugged into, that are happening in the now. And this situation is happening in the now right now with COVID and work situations. And the power plays, like Shell said, you know, it started small and all of a sudden it's a mountain. And how do you get out of this mountain?
Oh, I know. Yeah, it can be like, you know, like you've said in the past, it can be either your greatest bliss or your worst nightmare.
Exactly. <You know? laughs> Exactly.
You know? And it's so true. I'm like, it's so true. So anyways, if you enjoyed the show, go ahead, please leave a review and let us know how we might have inspired or motivated you. And remember to subscribe or download on iTunes, or you can watch us on YouTube. And you can find everything that you need to know at evolve360show.com. This is
Kelly Grace
and Shelly Divine with Life Unplugged, Raw and Real. We'll see you on the next Evolve 360
show. Season 2.
Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.